Okay, so basically we're just reviewing yesterday and we left over the problem. So we have Rav Papi basically says that the whole, Rav Papa says the whole idea is you want to create a, or for starters, the idea is you just want to create a relationship. That this maisa, this action is qualified by the bracha. The bracha is on this action, so they have to be related. So therefore, you could relate the bracha to the action either through explicitly, because the text points to the action, or through context. So if you say le and then do it, le points to what's about to come. So therefore, the bracha relates to the action. But if you say al, the standard interpretation of al is the past. But you look around, nothing happened in the past. And then you do the action of the mitzvah, and clearly, that bracha was on the action of the mitzvah. So the mitzvah is qualified by the bracha. It's defined as a ma'aseh mitzvah. So therefore, it's fine. So it doesn't matter if it's explicit or through context. But we said, Rav Papi has a different idea. Papi has an additional idea, or a different idea, which is that there's a kiyum in the shevach itself, that the shevach is related, the praise is related to, it's an enhancement of the praise, that the praise is related to that thing which is motivating the praise. Okay, that the praise is points to, and it, like so to speak, within the, it references the object of the praise. Okay, that's a key, that's an enhancement of the person's involvement in the praise. It's more real to him, that when the praise points to that which brought him to that praise. So it's not just an abstract praise that God gave us this mitzvah of Bir Chametz, but it's this mitzvah of Bir Chametz. So that the person is the praise is more of a reality insofar as in the bracha itself he involves the particular. But that it's an enhancement of the bracha. So therefore it has to be included in the bracha. Okay, and this I think a little better yesterday, that it has to be, since it's a kiyum in the bracha, it's a fulfillment in the bracha, so it must be in the bracha itself points to the action. Okay, because that's, it's a halacha in the bracha. So if you say a bracha, le, Hashem Yisrael levo'er, so levo'er points to, it's incomplete. It points to the future. So therefore, the praise, within the praise itself, it points to the future, which is, you look in a second, you'll see that bracha. It kind of says, don't stop here, but it's on this thing which is yet to come. So the text of Levo'er naturally points, intrinsically points to the future, and therefore the praise incorporates into it the action which is about to come. But if you say the al, so al, the text of the bracha itself, points to the past. And there was nothing in the past. So therefore, the bracha itself is just, so obviously it was just a praise on the abstract institution of Bir Chametz. Now afterwards you do something, okay, that's very nice, but the bracha's already over. It's the bracha, if you say that it's enhancing the bracha, it must be, at the moment you say the bracha, there's a it relates to the bracha, to the action. Now unless you say future, so then in the text of the bracha, it points to the future. So therefore, you say that could be it, and the bracha relates to the thing which is yet to come, if the text tells you, look to the future. But if the text is the text which does not say look to the future, it says look to the past, so then the text itself doesn't point to the bracha. It's just saying, God commanded us on this institution of Bir Chametz. Okay. Very nice. So then the bracha ends. It didn't have any enhanced form to it. And then afterwards, you do an action. Okay, so that's very good. Insofar as the action is concerned, the action is not in midair. The action, through context, you'll say, this is an action, which, oh, that action is from here. But if it's an enhancement of the praise itself, so it has to be in the shevach, in the praise itself, in the bracha itself, it has to reflect or point to the action. You can't do it after it's done. After it's done, you already have the bracha at the lower level. You know, then you can't, unless the bracha points to the future, then you'll say then it's like awaiting the future. So then the text itself incorporates the mitzvah that you're going to do. But if it doesn't point to the future, so then the bracha is complete without any mitzvah. So the bracha doesn't include the mitzvah. All right, then afterwards you do it, it's too late, the bracha's already done. So that's Rav Papi. Now the question is, what about Rav Papa? So one way to say is, yeah, like we said yesterday, which I think is difficult but it's possible, is to say that Rav Papa doesn't hold by this idea, this kiyum in the bracha, the bracha mitzvah. He holds that that's the whole idea of putting them back to back is an idea in terms of the action. The action has to be qualified by the bracha. So if that's the case, then if the bracha comes first, and then you follow it up with the action, so even if you say it doesn't matter which one you say, as long as through the context it's clear that the bracha is going on the action, it's fine. But he doesn't have this idea of enhancing the bracha through this scheme of enhancing it, the better shavach because it points to the action. And you see by a bracha of hana'a, you do see like the idea of holding the thing. But then it's not necessarily the same thing. I mean, you can't just carry over from hana. Maybe you'll say hana, it's an enjoyable thing. Your emotions are, it's a yummy fruit or whatever. Here, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Maybe you don't have that type of a kiyam. I mean, who's to say? So you could say that's a question. Is there, if you say there is this kiyam, so then you'll say, then you have to go for it. If you could do it, then you have to. But if there is none, if the only halacha is just relating the two, that the action is qualified, so then who really cares if it's through explicit or through the context? So you could say that. The difficulty is that the machlokas is somewhat wide. I mean, you're saying is that Rav Papi holds by the kiyam and Rav Papi doesn't hold by the kiyam. So it would be better, simpler, if you could say they both hold by the kiyam, but somehow it's a question is, could you, so to speak, have it retroactively, or could you, through context, create that kiyam? Something like that. If you could work it out, if you could explain, again, we're saying Rav Papi is solid now. If you could explain the logic, how Rav Papa would allow doing it after, you know, the coming after the fact, then you can make that the very question, and then you don't have to make it such a wide machlokas. So that would be better if we could do it. Yeah, so now I was thinking like this, maybe you could just, maybe you say this, is that in bracha, there's two things in bracha. There's the text, they call the sviras dvarim, the words, okay, the words of the bracha itself, and then there's the gavra mishabeach, the person who's giving the shavach. Like the shavach is not just reading a text. Shavach praise involves the personality, involves the person in what he's doing. It's not just a blind, you know, technical action, but there's a person involved in it who's doing the action. So it could be like this, is that, see, a text is simply a text. It doesn't have context. It's just a text. And the text ends when you finish the bracha. I mean, unless certain texts point to the future. So then it doesn't end because it calls on the future. But if you have a text that doesn't call on the future, the second the text ends, that's it. Okay? But if you talk about, so if you say that the idea is that the kiyam is that in the text of the bracha, you reflect this idea, you reflect that the particular mitzvah, you attach the text of the bracha to the particular mitzvah, so then you have to say aleh, the thing where the text itself calls to the future. You can't go by the context, the text is already over. If you just say aleh, it's all over by the time you finish the bracha, and then what you do afterwards is irrelevant. But if you say that the vehicle of relating the bracha to the action is the gavra mishabeach, is the person who's involved in the shavach, then in the praise, so when he does the praise, he's basically saying, okay, I'm about to make the bracha and then do the action. So it's, you don't say, like, that's what he's doing. He's embarking on in a two-step process. And it's true, in the text of the bracha itself, al doesn't point to it, but then he continues onwards, and this is all what he's thinking in advance. This is what he's doing. He is relating the bracha, and because he knows that this is what's coming, and then when he does it, it's going to go back, and Al points based on context. You'll see Al meant the future. So it's like if you say that the idea is that the gavra mishabeach, the person who's involved in shavach, must relate the bracha to the action. So then that calls into play the entire picture of the person, which is the action that he's doing, the bracha itself, but the sequence which the bracha is involved in. And therefore, it could call on the future also. He's going to say a bracha afterward. He's going to do the bracha and then do the bracha, then do the mitzvah, and the bracha will end up referring to the it's being used. He knows what he's doing. He's using al in the future sense. So when he's saying the bracha, it's true in the text itself, the text doesn't manifest, doesn't point to it, but insofar as his bracha and his involvement in the bracha is concerned, he's using a language which is going on the future thing that he's about to do, and the language tolerates it. So therefore, they have the enhancement, the kiyum, and the gavra mishabeach, the enhancement of the person through of relating the thing to the relating the bracha to the mitzvah. Whereas Rav Papi holds that the vehicle of the relationship between the two has to take place in the text of the bracha itself, in the concrete text of the bracha. It can't be through the mindset of the person, through the gavra mishabeach.
Why can't it work through the text? What failed?
The text points to the past.
The text can point to the future if
the context, but that's after the thing is over. The text is complete and it didn't point to anything. So then afterwards, it's already too late. The bracha is over. But if you say that it goes by the gavra could either use a language which points to the future, or he could use a language which he knows is going on the future.
No, I understand the gavra.
No, because the text itself is a text. Text is when you say the text, when you say the word al is going on the past,
but there was nothing in the past.
Saying
its meaning is
the question is when you say, could the bracha has to point to the thing in the future? Definitely, the bracha that has the kiyum and the shavach has to point to the future in order to have this kiyum. So how does it point to the future? So Rav Papi says it has to point to it through the words of the bracha itself. Okay? Leh. Okay? Al doesn't point to it. The words don't point to it. Whereas Rav Papa holds that you could point to the future through the gavra mishabeach. The person who's giving the shavach, the person giving the shavach knows when he's doing this shavach, it's going on this action which he's about to do. And he's using al in the future. So therefore, the bracha could have the kiyum, the enhancement that it's related to the future thing through the mindset of the person who's giving the praise. Whereas Rav Papa says, no, it has to be, so the mindset is not halacha recognized. The vehicle of relating the bracha to the future has to be the text of the bracha itself. So it's like a halacha question, you know. It's a halacha question of how the clear. Definitely has to be a relationship for this kiyum, which is, does it have to be through the. It's a halachic thing. Halachically, it has to be more rigorous through the text itself, that's more concrete. Or is it enough? Because in bracha, there is a state of a person giving the praise that's sufficient to create the relationship. Okay, so we're just going to do turn to the Ran now, but the Ran references a bracha, a Gemara in bracha, Salam and Chas. So I'll just tell you a little bit about the Gemara because that's where the Gemara really gets into this. I mean, the Ran's called Ravid who references this Gemara. So the Gemara is just basically talking about what you say. So it says Hamotzi Lachem in Aretz, right, on bread, the bracha on bread, Hamotzi Lachem in Aretz, and Rav Nechemia says Motzi Lachem in Aretz. Okay, it's Gemara and Bracha, Salam Achas. So, So it says, Rava says that everyone agrees motzi works. Because motzi means that he brought forth the bread. Okay, but the question is, what about hamotzi? Does hamotzi mean that he brought forth, the one who brought forth bread, or that will bring forth? Okay, that's how it goes. So, whatever it is, but that's his argument about what the implication of the word, whether you have the right implication of the word. And they both base it on psukim, which use the word hamotzi. Okay, and there's two different psukim, and the question is how the Torah means hamotzi in the Torah. Okay, fine. And it goes into the details, fine. But this is a side point. Okay, so the argument is based on whether hamotzi works, and how you read the pasuk and whatever in the Torah. Fine. Okay, motzi means who brings forth bread from the earth. So then it tells a story that the Rabbanan were talking to Rabbi Zera, and they were saying that the son of Rav Zvid was a great guy. Okay, the son of Rav Zvid, the brother of Rav Shimon, the son of Rav Zvid, he was a really great guy, and he's an expert in brachas. So he said, really, when he comes to town, bring him to me. So they did. They brought him one time, and they brought bread out, and he said, "Motzi, motzi." He didn't say hamotzi. He said motzi. So he says, "This is a great guy and an expert in brachos. I understand if he would have said hamotzi, he would have taught me the way you read the psukim, the right way to read the psukim, hamotzi or whatever in the pasuk and the Torah, and it would have taught me the halacha that we go like the rabbanon that hamotzi works. But a guy says motzi, that doesn't teach me anything." What do I learn from that? This guy's an expert in brachos. He should make brachos in a way which shows me that he knows what he's a lamdan, that he knows how to learn. Right? But it says, so he responded, why did he do it? Because he really wasn't sure how the halacha was. So he was doing it to play it safe. Because apparently he didn't hold it was a clear halacha. But if it is a clear halacha, that's the way, then you should do it this way to show that you know what you're doing. Okay? So that's the Gemara over there. And there's another Gemara that Ron quotes, which says, or I don't know if it's a Gemara, but he says it says that over here, and this is the reference here. The question is, why does the Gemara say you should say al? Why not just say le? So it says no, because you should say al, even though they both work. We hold they both work, but you should say al because it shows from your brachas, it's nicker, it's noticeable from your brachas that you're Talmud Chacham. Okay, it should be noticeable. It's good to be noticeable from your brachas Talmud Chacham. So the question is, what's the deal? Okay. What's the idea? What kind of idea is this? Right? We talked about this yesterday. So anyone have an idea? Let me read you the Rosh, because he talks a little bit more. He says, Alma, you see, shetzorech lashmino chiddush b'brachosav. You're supposed to show a chiddush, a new idea, through your brachas. And that's why it says we do al b'yachameh. It's to show that also implies the future. Okay, so it shows people that al also implies the future. Okay, and also v'shlo yitu lomar dalbir l'shavar v'imbir kach leyotzei. And also, people will make a mistake and think that if a guy made al bir, they're not yotzei. Because if you will have everyone saying le, and one guy by accident slips up and says al, you'll say hey, do it again. He's gonna mess up. So therefore, by saying al, everyone will know that al also works. You know. So it seems like this idea of teaching ideas, like over there also. Hamotzi, you teach what hamotzi in the pasuk means, and you teach the halacha. It seems like somehow like. It's an idea, like he says, to teach a chiddush through your brachas, to teach new ideas through the brachas. The Gemara says in brachas, no, says from a person's brachas, it's noticeable whether he's Talmud Chacham or whether he's not a Talmud Chacham. Okay, how he says his bracha. Maybe there's an idea is that that it's important. See, brachas are bracha and shevach is chachma. Okay, the praise of God isn't just. It's not just like. Just like lip service. You're just saying a bunch of words, you know, and becomes like, and that's the kind of the way it is. It's like a rote thing. You just say a formula and then you do the thing. But that's not the way the mitzvah of the bracha is supposed to be. Bracha is supposed to be shachma. That person is supposed to think about a bracha, and he's supposed to be, the idea of a bracha functioning properly is that a person should be a vehicle of limud. A person should say a bracha and think about the idea of whatever idea the bracha contains. Yeah, Sheikh Shalom is supposed to under this bracha, this mitzvah really. Is given to us by God as part of a whole system, and it's perfecting us, and you know, or this fruit is really part of a whole system of of botany or whatever that's responsible that God set up, and He's the King of the world, and I mean, every bracha could be a stimulus to take you out of your mundane world and to cause you to think and to be involved in limud. So, and that's really a person. It grounds a person in praise of God, which is chachma. A person's sees God through studying the Chachma, which is manifest through God's creation. A person hears thunder, you could think, wow, that's so strong, that's so loud, wow. Or you could think, he thinks about it, God's power and might fills the world. So the brachas are supposed to be Chachma. They move a person towards thinking about God. Now, it's true, it's not mandatory in a bracha to involve thought. And you fulfill a bracha, even if you just say it, you don't have to think. But certainly that's a component of a bracha, is that it should involve chachma. So since that's the case, it's like brachos should be a vehicle of limud. Brachos shouldn't just be like a rote thing. You just take a formula and you say it. And you say it every day and whatever. It should be something you think about. So a person is a motzi achem and aretz, but they should think, what is hamotzi? Maybe hamotzi will be better. Maybe there's an idea in hamotzi. Maybe I could teach a different idea through. Now, the idea of teaching things is the idea of that brachos are involved in limud. And a person, these people really were experts in brachos, means he thought about brachos. He put a lot of thought into his brachos, because the brachos is praise of God, and praise of God is only possible through, not just through lip service, but it's through thinking. So therefore, it's a good idea to, in the way, when a person makes brachos, before he makes brachos, he thinks about it and he formulates a praise in a way which will contain the greatest praise and will be a vehicle of limud. That's a good idea. It's like you'll teach people an idea. Because it manifests the idea that brachos are, the fact that you're teaching people ideas and they say, wow, what's that? And then people think about it. It causes limud to result from brachos. Causes learning. Limud is learning. Causes learning to be part of brachas. And that's a kiyum in the bracha. It's an enhancement of the bracha to do the bracha in a way that points to a chachma, teaches an idea. And that's because the essence of shevach is chachma, is a person's thinking about ideas about God. So that's what he's saying. Here you're better off to say al. Not because al is really better, but it shows people an idea about shevach and about what's the proper way to give shevach. And that's what he says. The Gemara there says, teach an idea about a pasuk, teach you how to learn a pasuk, teach you how to learn what the halacha is. Just, I think his idea is the concept is that brachas are limud. because it's chachma. When you say al, it brings you into all the sugya, and it makes you think about the idea of brachos relating to the particular thing through the government shabbat. I mean, it brings to play all the ideas about the brachos. I'd like to do tomorrow, or next time, I guess tomorrow should be good, is the further in the Ran. Because the Ran basically starts, this is where we're going to get sugya into the meat of this sugya. Is what's the basic rules for when you say, the Ran. When do you say al and when do you say lech? Because we've just done bior, but we haven't talked about all the mitzvahs in general. So the Ran is the Ran. It would be good if you prepared a little bit, if you get a chance. It's in the Ran on Gimel Amud Beis and Daf Aref. Akasha Luhu L'Rab Vasa, in that one, but it doesn't start there. Start at Umihu. It's the fourth wide line. Umihu Akati Ika L'Medak Lama Shalu Kan. Towards the end of the fourth wide line.
Okay,
fourth line in it.
To where?
Till where is a good question. One second. I guess you go till the four lines before the end of the page. Uminado maskana. Okay, that's kind of the way. And then he talks about the Rambam. I mean, you could read that. But, I mean, keep reading as far as you go. I mean, it's pretty far. So, I mean, just try to get a feel for what he's saying. I mean, we're not going to take up every single word. I'll show you.